Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Last hour of the program, boys and girls.
Flying by.
I'd expect nothing less. Listen, we're going to be off the chain tomorrow. I'm just telling you that right now.
Because Fred is pumped up about our guest for tomorrow.
It's not even about that. It's our last show. It's our last show of the week.
Last show of the year.
Well, and the year, yes.
That's it. Last show of the year.
I mean, listen, I'm excited about our guest, but it's the last show. So I'm more excited about that. I've got a couple other people that I'm efforting to get. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Don't forget, we got our boy Russell Baxter going down at 10:30.
Yes, sir.
All right. So Russell always, all things National Football League. We'll get his thoughts on, I'm going to ask him what he, and the thing about we love about Russell Baxter is he always brings a statistical narrative to everything he does. So I'm going to get his thoughts on, you know, are you worried the Chiefs are winning too close? Does that buy, as a football historian, does that give you any, you know, pause that the Chiefs have won basically every game's been, you know, a touchdown or less in the last 7 or 8 weeks?
It's all right. Bookies happen.
Oh, if you're betting on the Chiefs, you're happy.
Losing all your money. Yes. Bookies are like, yeah, Kansas City by 9.
Yeah, take Chiefs in the points. The Chiefs in the points. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Lamont, what's up, shipmate?
Say, man, what's up? Say, what's the deal? I've been thinking in hindsight. I kind of agree with Fred that, you know, outside of the cap, you know, the cap is going to restrict us to a degree. It's going to restrict the Texans to a degree. But I think with the draft, find some players in the third and fifth. And when I'm talking about hindsight, it just dawned on me that Bill O'Brien, he was telling us what he was all about in the beginning, especially this year, where he was kept on talking about this is not a he would always talk about this is a veteran year. This year, he didn't really value the draft at all. He was always talking about it's a veteran year because it's COVID. The guys ain't going to be able to get together, so they're not going to know much. And then I just started thinking about Bill O'Brien. He actually started Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson as if Deshaun Watson was going to learn something up under Tom Savage. It took him all but 3 quarters to yank him out. And then you got – and you guys remember all of those players since he took over that he was stashing on the IR, the white boy tight end that's doing water polo or whatever. He just sniffed the football field this year, and Blaylock can't even get on the field for like 9 or 10 times his whole year or whatever sort of obscene number. He just didn't value draft picks in that whole culture. Don't drag you back the draft picks. I think the next GM, go in there, let the little youngsters play, man. Don't be sitting them on the bench and putting them on IR and we don't even much know where they are when they come out there. I'm like, who in the hell is this big-ass white boy out there jumping around? That's all I have, fellas. I think the draft is going to be better, and Bill O'Brien is an idiot.
Woo, I'm glad you got that off your chest. Just let that come right off your chest there.
And the best part about that entire call, and Bill O'Brien's an idiot. Tell you all that to tell you this. Bill O'Brien is an idiot. I'm of the utmost opinion that it's not a death march for the Houston Texans. It's not a, this is it. This is a, you know, lost cause for 2021. You're behind the eight ball. And here's the deal. Jeff Diamond pointed out beautifully and said, what I know you and I have been thinking about, Laremy Tunsil is a good offensive lineman.
Right.
He's not a great offensive lineman.
Hey, they definitely gave too much for that.
I mean, Jeff Diamond is the most impartial character as he possibly could be, in the nicest way possible, basically said, Bill O'Brien gave up way too much for Laremy Tunsil.
Yes, he did.
Okay. And again, we're not saying anything that folks don't already know. But I think to Lamont's point, and I think it's a great point, is
Bill O'Brien's an idiot.
Well, Bill O'Brien is an idiot. And everything that the Texans have done in the last, basically since they fired Brian Gain, has been a disaster. You should have starting with the hiring of Jack Easterby. Okay. No. And again, no, I don't think anybody knew that he was going to be the swindler that he's become. Nobody knew he was going to be Sporty Joel Osteen, which is exactly what he is. But you know,
what you got against Joel Osteen? You don't like the mother?
What do I have against Joel Osteen?
He wouldn't open his church for the flood? What?
Yeah. I mean, okay. You got an entire... I mean, you've made your money off the backs of people giving you money in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A once-in-a-lifetime flood event happens in the city that has made you a millionaire.
Billionaire.
Made you a... I don't think he's a billionaire. Okay. But it's made you rich. And yet, you can't open your doors... You're a man of God, but yet when time gets tough, the doors are locked. Is that how the Bible works?
It's going to make the church dirty.
Because I skipped that. I must have skipped that part in Catholic school where they said, "Hey, God is a God is an awesome God, except for when the flood hits. Then we got to lock the doors on you. Can't let you in then." So yeah, I used to be a Joel Osteen guy. I really did, but I after that. I'm sorry, but I can't mess with you like that.
I was just asking because you always seem to slimy Joel Osteen.
Absolutely. No.
It's not that that person is slimy. It's that Joel is slimy.
Well, I mean, Jack Easterby might be a slimy guy. Okay. From everything we've read, from the hit piece that Sports Illustrated did on him.
That was a hit piece.
Would you want him in your circle?
He's not.
But would you want him?
See,
if Jack came into this room right now, hey, Henry, dude. Hey, I was in the fo-fo the other day. They was talking about you.
As soon as you start talking like that, he's out the door. He's out the door.
You remember growing up with little Ray Ray and little Kiki? Yeah.
He's out the door. It's like the other day when we were at the, where were we? Stopped in the store, me and I think one of my daughters and a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in probably 4 or 5 years, Asian cat.
Okay.
Rolled up on me like, yo, Hank, what's up, man? What's going on? And my daughter got mad at me because I was like, oh, I so good. I was like, wait a minute. He can roll up on me all, but I can't. I thought that's what we were doing. I was saying, like, I can do your culture. And my daughter was pissed. She's like, Dad, that is so insensitive.
Did he take offense to it?
Huh?
Did he take any offense to it?
No, he was stunned. That's what I was going for. He was shocked. Like, what is he doing? I gave him the little bow, and I was like, so glad to see you. I have not seen you in a long time. What? Now I'm wrong.
Now, see, that is.
So now I'm wrong. But he came to me, yo,
well,
hey.
Is he not normally like that?
No, he's like normal, regular, hey, what's going on? Nice to see you.
Oh, so it may be like he went Johnny, he became Johnny Dang on you all of a sudden.
I don't know who he became, but I shocked him into reality.
Okay.
And that's what I was going for, but my daughter was pissed.
So he went Johnny Dang on you. You tried to go Jet Li on him, and there was a miscommunication. Somewhere in the middle.
And my daughter was like, Dad, that is so insensitive.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I made it even worse because I was like, I know. How dare he come at me like that?
Doesn't even know. All up in your Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm just
All
saying.
All up in your Kool-Aid. Now, the one point where me and Jeff Diamond did disagree is he's got no problem with him with a defensive coach.
None.
So,
if you bring in the right support staff.
Yeah. No, and I get that. I mean, again, I'm not, and he's not a fan of an Urban Meyer either. He wants a guy with NFL experience.
Yes, he does.
He wants a guy
and
with
NFL experience.
And he says
Urban Meyer has a track record of taking a job for a couple years and then moving on.
I mean, he's there for longer than a couple years. I mean, he's there for about 4 or 5, which from an NFL standpoint, I mean, hell, if you take 5 or 6 years and get a couple, you know, get a Super Bowl run in there, Texans fans will take that.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because ultimately,
build the statue right next to JJ.
All you want to do is set the tone for the next guy. Right? I mean, you want to leave it to where, and again, obviously, you're in a situation like an Urban Meyer. Again, I'm intrigued by the whole Urban Meyer deal. Now, maybe again, for a team like the Houston Texans, maybe that's not what you need. You need somebody that's more well versed in already being in the National Football League. Urban Meyer might be more of a, not that there's any good teams that are looking for a head coach. I mean, if you're looking for a head coach at this standpoint, it's because your team's not very good. But I don't know. I would think that because I would say, though, too, because of his college experience, all right, that he might actually be a good fit for the Houston Texans, considering how much you're going to need to hit on the draft.
Okay.
All right. And who better to help you sift through college talent than Urban Meyer?
Okay,
so. And the thing about Urban Meyer is you know he's got connections for days in college, especially since he's been out of it for the last couple of years.
So we hire a glorified scout as the head coach.
Well, I would call him a well-versed football coach is what I would call him.
How about we call him a consultant in draft and call it a day.
You know what? Call him whatever you want. Calling him my head coach. How about that?
Just asking the question.
I'm calling him my head coach.
You can call him what you like. I'm telling you what he is in your description.
No.
He's a consultant.
No, he ain't a consultant. You know what? He's well-versed.
Well-versed consultant.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Who's singing it? Is this The Weeknd? But is this like a, did they steal this beat from like an 80s song?
Yeah, it says remix.
This is a remix,
so it's definitely
right?
Definitely a remix of a song, yeah.
It's got a very 80s vibe-ish to it. I could see Henry jamming out to this.
See, I did the remix version. This isn't the Weeknd version either.
This is the original version?
I don't know if it's the original, but it's a little different.
It is a little different. All right, speaking of a little different, the show's a little different. All right, Russell Baxter, 10:30. Coming up next, we'll talk a little Rockets basketball. We'll put a bow on the sports talk. We'll put a bow on the NFL talk. And get you ready for one Mr. Russell Baxter. Don't go anywhere. Henry, Fred, John, HD Show, ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. No, this is not The Bench, but we are filling in for The Bench. This is the HD show. We got Henry Thomas. That's me. Fred Davis. John B. working the 1-2s and threes. And look, 2020 is winding down, people. It's been crazy, and I know you guys are sitting at home going, what's going on with the station and all? Just chalk it up to 2020. It's craziness. That's us. Just threw us in right here at the end. We're going to send 2020 off with a bang. Oh, that song you're thinking of? Young Turks.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Because I know the Young Turks.
Young Turks.
Be free.
Play the intro to Young Turks. Somebody play the intro to Young Turks. I was thinking, I was like, he does. That does 80. It's Young Turks. It's got to be the same thing.
Nope.
Sounds the same.
Nope.
Does.
You want to bet? You want to bet?
You got nothing to bet with.
Lunch.
Young Turks by who?
Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart. It's not the Young Turks.
You do know the song.
Yeah, I do know the song. Of course I know the song. It's on my playlist.
Oh, you got Young Turks on your playlist. I can't be mad at you. It's probably on mine, too.
Of course it's on yours. Of course it's on
yours.
But
the music sounds the same.
It's similar, but it's not the same song.
See, you know who you sound like?
Who?
Vanilla Ice. It goes.
Mine goes ding, ding.
It goes ding, ding. So it's sound like.
No,
it's got
kind of that synthesizer undertone to it, but yeah, it's not the same as the Weeknd song. No,
it's the same. Okay, Weeknd so song's is, a little louder. Look, a little.
John B's disgusted at you right now.
Now, just play the other one on top of it. You'll see it. You'll hear it.
No, you won't.
You will.
You'll hear a mishmash of two completely different songs is what you'll hear.
You'll hear a good mash.
You'll hear two songs.
Thank you. John B wants to say you're full of bleep. He really does. But he's a nice guy, and he's just kind of like...
And he's laid on the butt.
Tell you what, I can't... We're going to go... Since John is no longer with Best Buy, I may go on a shoplifting spree after we're done here. What better way to end 2020 than with a shoplifting spree over at Best Buy? As we're running out, saying "Free John B." as I get into my getaway car.
How American rapper was that?
What's that?
Just I'm going to commit this crime, or I've already done it and then put it in the song.
I'm gonna go put it in the social.
Like, how did they catch me?
I'm gonna tweet about it. I'm gonna put it on my IG. I got a new freestyle coming out. Hashtag Free John B.
How did they
Robin
catch me?
Best Buy all day long.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, people are stealing from Best Buy left and right.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It does.
What's the moat, real quick, Mr. Loss Control extraordinaire? What's the most egregious attempt you've ever seen at someone trying to shoplift from Best Buy?
It wasn't at my store, but there was a store here in Houston where they came to the front with a couple PlayStations, and the AP tried to stop them, and a gun was brandished and pointed at their, you know, at the APs, and so they just let them go. That's the most brazen one I've seen at a Best Buy here.
Really?
Like, yeah. Ho, 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 ho. Man, I'm just saying,
you got to use
the USB port on that one. That'd be better.
No, it would be better with an HDMI plug. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Go ahead on to your car. License plate.
Wow. So was it a PS4 or PS5?
It was PS4s. It was a while ago. Yeah.
And they straight pulled out a pistol
and walked out the door.
Did they ever catch him?
I have no idea. We had pictures, and we had these things that we sent to every store, so you could see kind of who was where.
Were they wearing ski masks or anything? No. Just brazen.
Yeah.
Really?
Brazen. Yeah, but it's kind of hard. I don't want to give away any.
Yeah.
You don't work there anymore.
You know.
Who cares?
No, I know. But it's kind of hard because, I mean, the police take so long to respond.
They don't care.
Even if they took the pictures and send it out. Nowadays,
it doesn't matter.
Everybody got masks on.
Yeah.
You got to have your mask on.
Boy, you ain't lying about that. Here's the thing. Oh, I tell you what, you just gave me a great idea, too. for when I go shoplift, because I'll have my mask on. If you're HPD, and again, we're not trying to minimize Best Buy crime or anything like that, but maybe we are. If you're HPD and, you know, you're dealing with the scourge of society, okay, or, you know, a domestic violence call, which Lord knows they get, and we're certainly not trying to minimize domestic violence here in the city of Houston or anywhere really. But that's a lot of what they get, you know, a lot of domestic disturbances. If you're a cop, if you're a Houston cop and you're dealing with that, Or let's say, for instance, I read an article a couple of weeks ago about how the homicide division has been ravaged, right? Because a lot of those old school detectives are no longer with the force. You got guys who really don't know how to investigate homicides. I mean, I think the clearance rate right now is like right at 50%. And if you're an HPD cop, please, by all means, let us know if we're wrong about this. Are you really concerned that somebody stole a couple PlayStations? Like, if you get that call,
you know, this is a, we got a 211 on some PS4s and a Madden 20.
See the man.
At the Best Buy on Richmond. Can you get over here quick?
I mean, are you in a rush? No. No, you're not.
No, not at all.
You are not worried about some dude running off with Madden, a remoteless, a wireless controller, and a couple PlayStations.
You know what, though? They took a while to get there, but there's this thing over here in the Galleria called Uptown Patrol, and they have about four officers that just drive around, and one parks in our parking lot, and we had some fun sometimes going and grabbing him and making some stuff happen. Because, I mean, they don't, even you call them, they can't come, but if they're in the parking lot, they're there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Sound like a bunch of vigilantes.
I was going to say, sounds like vigilante shoplifting justice going like, on
what,
right
what
now.
What was those guys in New York? The Angel?
Hell's Angels?
No, not the Hell's Angels. The other guys, the vigilantes that were in the they wore the little berets back in the day. What were they? Come on, somebody got it.
Your guess is good as mine.
Somebody, 713-780-3776.
If you
know what I'm talking about, those little vigilantes.
Did you wear a beret and fight off crime at some point? By the way, okay, real quick, since we're on the topic of this, to hell with James Harden. He sucks. Listen, once you turn your back on Houston, I'm done with you.
He's got...
Okay,
I'm done.
Yeah, but he's already. I mean, he's requested a trade.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Now, again, maybe this will, maybe this will persuade him to stay.
You
but
know what it sounds like?
What?
I requested a raise. So, go back to work.
Well, but here's the thing: they offered him a raise. Uh oh. Here's your peoples. Your people are calling in.
Somebody's gonna tell me what I'm. Give me the answer. You know, I got hit in the head a lot. I use that a lot now.
You do.
Well, I'm getting older.
Yeah, you are.
You know. And I heard some, there you go. See, you said angels.
All right, let's go out to Scott. What's up, Scott?
Scott, what were they?
The Guardian Angels wore a little red berets.
Guardian Angels.
And so what did they do?
Walk around the subways. Look like.
They used to just patrol the subways. They patrolled the neighborhoods. And they, it was right around the time of Bernie Getz. So everybody was real excited about everybody taking justice into their own hands up there.
Boom.
Boom. Okay.
See, all I right. remember those guys.
Okay, good to know. Appreciate you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Rick, Garden Angels, right?
That's it. No, he already let Rick go.
Oh, Rick already bounced. I was going to try to get Rick's
He already knew.
I think Scott stole Rick's thunder.
He did, but that's all right. Rick and Scott were on the same page.
Nobody can steal your thunder.
So, Rick. Okay, so the Guardian Angels, so on that same note.
They walked around in tight t-shirts.
So what you're saying is you were like the Guardian Angel version of Best Buy. You were like Best Buy's version of a Guardian Angel is what you're saying. Except instead of a red beret, you wore a blue t-shirt?
A yellow shirt.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to say, I really don't, honestly don't care if somebody's going to steal it's your life. But it was kind of fun. I ain't going to lie. It was fun.
Wait a minute,
catching
how can
it.
You be, that? But that goes, literally what you just said flies against everything Lost Control's about. Like you are the last line of defense between someone taking ill-gotten goods.
You got to remember, it's a paycheck, man. Like, it's not my life. I'm not giving my life to Best Buy to protect their goods. It's a paycheck. So at the end of the day, like, I don't care if somebody steals, but it is.
But
it was
see, as a manager, I don't want to hear that. Because as manager, I want you to be like my little guardian angel.
That's why you don't say that to the manager.
Boom.
See, I would think I could tell if
knowledge
that
bomb.
If that I could tell that attitude if I see people walking out and I see my man JB just sitting there chilling as things are just flying off the
all
shelves.
All you got to do is walk by him a couple times, pace through. Hey, what's up? You got a receipt for that?
What was your Lost Control philosophy? What was your style?
Were you
would you get in people's faces or?
Yeah, you had to a little bit because the thing is when you I can't touch somebody. That's
right,
the thing
right,
about
right.
Best Buy.
Which I get
touch.
That makes sense.
So in order to get like to actually have a chance to get your product back.
Yeah, trip them.
You have to not trip them. And don't do what that girl did. You seen that Best Buy AP girl who got a UFC contract for blocking that guy from stealing a speaker at a Best Buy? It was in Hawaii, I think it was. Like you can't do that. My philosophy was to try to be like as aggressive as I could immediately as soon as you saw me, so you hand the product back to me.
And then just what? Get the hell out of my store?
Yeah, get the hell out of my store. Yeah, that's it.
Did it ever get physical?
One time, this lady she tried to push by me, and I kind of blocked her in the corner, and we bumped bellies for like 2 minutes trying to get around me.
Did it go? Did it get intimate after that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sounds a little intimate to me.
Hey, now, why don't we take this belly bumping somewhere else? I mean, listen, drop the product, okay? There's a Palestine down the street, okay?
I'm off in an hour.
Doesn't have to be like this. It does not have to be like this. All right, Rick, listen, we want to hear your story, but we're going to have to wait till after we get done with this next segment. So Rick's got a story about the Guardian Angels. We got our boy John B. belly bumping with let me ask you this. Did her belly go out further than her boobs did?
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, oh yeah.
That's where I gotta say no.
Still want to see her naked?
not for long. Not for long.
I want to see it though.
I want to see it, but not for any longer than I absolutely have to. That's John B. on the ones, twos,
and threes.
That's Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. Coming up next, longtime NFL historian and just all around NFL guru, the one, the only. Russell Baxter joins us here on ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back in. ESPN 97.5, Henry Thomas, Fred Davis, John B. on the 1-2s. Yeah, close enough. Without further ado, let's jump out to the HR&P listener line. Welcome to the program. Listen, if you guys don't know this man's work, then you will get introduced to it today, and I advise you to all go out and follow him on the Twitter sphere right now, at Bax Football Guru, one of the best minds in football, the one, the only, Mr. Russell Baxter. And Russ, let's get right down to it. We're 1 week away from the playoffs getting started in earnest. There's a few jostling around right now as far as on the bottom side of for both the AFC and NFC as far as playoff teams are concerned. When you look at this NFL playoff roster, 14 teams are going to make it. What team right now, in all your years of covering the NFL, what team right now gives you are you most impressed by, and what team is kind of your quote unquote sleeper to make a run to Tampa?
Well, you know, I look at the Buffalo Bills playing with an awful lot of confidence right now. But if I had to pick slightly above them, it's the Packers.
Okay.
And they look like they have settled down their run defense. And not just because of Derrick Henry this past week, but in other weeks as well. They are playing better defense than they did a year ago. They're still getting the sacks. They're not necessarily getting the takeaways, but they are stopping people. And they've had some games. The Indianapolis game, which they lost, the Carolina game where they won, where they kind of disappeared in the second half. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers took a beating in that Saturday night game against Carolina. And I think we sacked 5 times in the second half alone. But you watch the efficiency of how they play, and you know they don't give up a lot of sacks. They don't turn over the ball a lot. They had the one bad game against the Colts with a lot of turnovers. You know, the pick six against Tampa Bay. They're looking at 13-3. If they win this week, they'll be 13-3 for a second consecutive year. By the way, home field advantage in the playoffs. home field advantage hasn't been much this year. One game above 500 for the entire league. But guess what? Last year we had people in the stands, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
9 games above 500 for the entire season. That's all. Worst mark in like 40-plus years.
Oh, wow.
Hasn't been home field advantage 2 years in a row here, if you really think about it. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Now, on the other end, you know, does Pittsburgh build on what they did in the second half against the Colts? That would be interesting to see. Here's what's really wild about the AFC. We added one team per conference, okay?
Yeah.
And somebody with 10 wins is still going to miss it in the AFC.
Well, and how much of that is I mean, listen, the AFC's been great this year. I mean, you've you've had the Browns step up in a huge way. But how surprised were you with Kevin Stefanski's game plan on Sunday? You're down, you know, all four of your starting wide receivers. You've got two of the best running backs, not just in the AFC, but in the entire National Football League, who would start on damn near any other NFL team not named Tennessee or Minnesota. And yet you decide to throw the ball almost 40 times. I mean, I can't wrap my brain around what exactly the game plan was.
Yeah, I mean, think about their backfield. Nick Chubb last year finished second only to Derrick Henry in rushing.
Okay.
3 years ago, Kareem Hunt led the entire NFL in rushing.
Exactly.
When he was with the Chiefs. So your point is well taken. Your wide receiver core is depleted. Okay, you have shown that you can out-muscle people in power football, and you're playing against a Jet team with a somewhat respectable defense, unless there's like 5 seconds to go, and, never mind. It was a little questionable. You put a lot on... undue pressure on Baker Mayfield, which maybe for the first time in a couple of months. And, you know, it wasn't like he was throwing interceptions. He just couldn't hang on to the ball. Boy, he fumbled three times. And that's the second time in a game we saw him sneak a ball. Remember against Tennessee?
Yeah.
Even though they won that game, he tried to sneak a ball, and the ball popped out, and Tennessee took it the other way and set up a touchdown and made the game close. It was almost identical to what happened against the Jets. So, you know, they've kind of backed themselves into a little bit of a corner. You know, the Browns' defense is very shoddy. I mean, remember the game they had? They had a two-week stretch where they won a game by six by scoring 41 points.
Yeah.
And then they lost the game by five by scoring 42 points.
No, I mean, listen, that's the thing about that Cleveland Browns team. I mean, they are very Jekyll and Hyde-ish. I mean, you know, the thing of it is the question mark that everybody, one of the biggest question marks, I think, in this offseason is going to be, you go ahead and guarantee that fifth-year option? I mean, I think you have to, right? Just because he was a first-round pick. And he's, I mean, but in all your years of covering football, how bizarre is it to you that you sit down Odell Beckham and he gets better? I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that when Odell gets hurt and you've seen a better Baker Mayfield than you saw when the season started.
Well, listen, you could make that case in a couple of ways, not just with him, but look at the way the Pittsburgh Steelers this year spread the football around. Now that Ben Roethlisberger is back, I saw a stat. I can't take claim for this. I saw a stat. They were the seventh team in history as of Sunday where they had at least four different players catch at least five touchdown passes. I don't know what that means, but it does mean they're spreading the ball around. And
I know what it means.
Yeah, yeah.
It means they can't run the ball.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I mean, you know what's funny, Henry? They don't even try. They don't even attempt it. And I'm a big attempts person. Right. Even in some ways more than it sets up your play action pass. And I mean, it's literally like drop back this and drop back that. And, you know, there's rumors that Ben Roethlisberger called all the plays in the second half because everything was dink and dunk and so on. There's no balance whatsoever. That is why their defense, as good as it is, shows cracks at times. Okay. Because they're on the field a lot. I mean, it's not to this extreme. It almost reminds me of the old Chargers from the early 80s, okay? They were dynamic offensively, maybe the greatest offense for a couple of years in NFL history.
Yeah, it was score.
But could Louis Kelcher get a drink of water, for goodness sake? I mean, oh, my goodness. Bam, 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 they're back out in the field. And I don't have to tell you, after a couple of years of that, it kind of wears you out.
Absolutely.
You know? I think they burned out their those Chargers team. 79, I know I'm dating myself, but 79, they might probably was the best team in the league. They burned their defense out after a couple of years. And, you know, if you don't have some sort, that's what makes Kansas City so intriguing. Could you imagine 2 years ago them scoring 17 points and winning a game? No.
No, not at all. Not sure. No. Trust me, I'm a Chiefs fan. No way.
Yeah, they would. They could have. They had games where they scored 27 points and couldn't win a game.
Exactly.
Okay? Now they can do it so many different ways. And, you know, champions until the throne and so on. But I agree with you. Listen, Beckham, Brown, we have seen it. With, listen, to a degree, Stephon Diggs in Minnesota was becoming a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, that turned out to be a trade to benefit of both teams. I mean, I know Minnesota's had a down year, but Minnesota wound up getting 15 picks out of the draft. That's a record for a seven-round draft.
Well, so,
and Buffalo is in the playoffs for the third time in 4 years, and he's leading the league in receiving.
No, well, between that, yeah, you're right, exactly. I mean, Stephon Diggs looks great in Buffalo, and right. You found his replacement. I mean, and to your point, very rarely when a player gets traded and you're looking to replace the player you just got rid of, do you find somebody as good or better? And guess what? The Minnesota Vikings did just that with Justin Jefferson, who, I'm not saying he's as good as Stephon Diggs now, but I'll tell you what, that kid's going to be a monster in the next couple, 2-3 years.
You know what? And here's what it shows you as much as anything else. Brandon Bean does a hell of a job. Rick Spielman does a hell of a job. Okay? I mean, if you're buttoned up organizational-wise, front office, head coach, quarterback to a degree, you know, as well, just all the way down the line. I mean, very rarely have you seen teams that are ultra-talented and with a bad head coach or a bad GM. And not succeed. You'll remember when Marty Schottenheimer was in San Diego, and him and AJ Smith, I don't think were going out for a lot of lunches together.
No,
and I think that wore on the team. I really do. I think there's a trickle down effect when you realize that not everybody is on the same page. I mean, I know that might sound silly to some people, but it really is a team game. It's an organizational game and so on. And, you know, bad front offices and bad relationships up top can come down and really hurt the team overall.
Yeah, you subconsciously pick sides. You know, like,
yes.
I think this guy's right and I think this guy's wrong. And everybody does it. And so now you have a split locker room.
Yeah, who knows better than you do? I mean, as far as what something like that can do. I'm not saying you've been involved or anything like that in Henry, but you understand what a football organization is. It's not just the guys in the locker room. It's the stuff that goes on above that and so on as well. And that's very, very important. And there's a reason the Bills gave Brandon Bean a brand new extension. He's done a hell of a job since he took over there and so on. They've made smart moves. They've built steadily. They haven't gone for the quick fix. They went in there. I think the thing I'd love that he did right away was he went in there and said their offensive line was a joke.
Yeah.
And he went in there and did it all in the span of 2 years. And now that's a power football team who can do a lot of different things. And what Josh Allen has done transformational-wise.
It's amazing.
You know, the NFL doesn't do most improved player in the league. They do comeback player. They do MVP and so on. But you'd be hard-pressed not to see what he's done this year. Still, And he has a little bit of a reckless style. He'll still turn over the football and so on. But, boy, he's playing with a lot of gusto right now.
Tell you what, we got about 45 seconds, but talking about head coach and GM, that's a perfect segue, obviously, to what's going on here in Houston. You got no GM. You got no head coach. Obviously, you're going to go out and make that hire this offseason. From a GM perspective, you got no first round. You got no second round pick. You got some really bad contracts. You got an aging superstar in J.J. Watt. Any names out there that you're hearing or that you think would be intriguing for this Houston job? And who's a head coach that you think, given what this team has, and to me it starts and ends with Deshaun Watson, outside of Eric Bieniemy, that's my pick for who they should go after and get. Anybody else on your radar that you think can get this Texans team back in contention, at least from a divisional standpoint, within a year?
I've always had a lot of respect for Jim Caldwell.
Okay.
And, you know, he took over for Tony Dungy. They went to the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to blame him for Peyton Manning having neck surgery, which was the whole 2011 season.
Exactly.
You will remember a year later, he took over for Cam Cameron as offensive coordinator, what, in December?
Yeah,
with the Ravens. And they won the Super Bowl. And Joe Flacco was a big part of that. He had three winning seasons in 4 years in Detroit, took them to the playoffs twice. I know they didn't win a playoff game, but Detroit hasn't won a playoff game since 1991. I'm not going to hang that on Jim Caldwell. What has happened to the Lions since then? It's been sheer disaster. You know, Matt Patricia didn't make it through his third year and so on. I think Jim Caldwell could come down there and be like a settling force and a settling influence for that team that, you know, and get a GM, not have somebody do both jobs. That's so antiquated right now in this league and so on. It's just tougher and tougher with salary cap. And the salary cap next year, who knows what it's going to be and so on. And defense. You know, the Texans stopped playing defense 3 years ago. They did. I mean, especially pass defense. The numbers are just abysmal. And this year, now they can't stop the run at all. So talk about another trickle down effect and so on. So they need to make a kind of a big change there.
Mentioning that they can't stop the run, this weekend, does Derrick Henry go for enough yards to surpass the 2,000-yard mark? He needs like 234.
The NFL record for most rushing yards in the game is 296. I'll just leave that out there.
Oh, well, hey, listen, anything's possible. Real quick, tell the folks at home where they can find you on Twitter and what you're working on next.
Back Football Guru, and then my podcast partner, Julie Noted, PFG, and then we have PFG Vibe, and I'm working on my usual trends piece that I'm actually writing about for full press coverage. This oddity of having, you know, there's only four spots left, and we have five teams, by the way, who have at least 10 wins. The last team, by the way, who didn't make the playoffs after the win, I believe, were the 10-6 New York Jets in 2015.
Interesting. Okay. Good. Well, there you go. There you go. There's your stat for the day. Mr. Baxter, always great stuff from you. Have a wonderful new year. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season. And let's do this again when we get closer to Super Bowl time.
You got it, guys. Happy New Year. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
There you have it. The one, the only, Mr. Russell Baxter. All right. One segment left to go. We'll put a bow on this bad boy and get you ready for the rest of your Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN
97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Shout out to our boy Russell Baxter.
Yes, sir. Solid, like always, putting it down.
Throw out Jim Caldwell out there. He threw Jim Caldwell out there.
I think that would just put the city in uproar. It would, because everybody's on the high profile guys.
I would be, you know, since we brought up Jim Caldwell today, and you do a deep dive into his
lineage.
I mean, listen, I don't want him to be my head coach at Wake Forest. We get that. All right, and the thing is, when he was the coach of the Colts with a healthy Peyton Manning, they went 14-2. They went 12-4 or 11-5 or something like that.
Yep.
He had a winning record 3 out of 4 years in Detroit. Got them to 2 playoff games.
Yep.
While he was there. Granted, they lost in the first round both times, but he got them there, which is more than can be said. They look nothing even remotely like a playoff team with
Patricia
in the last few years. Okay.
Right.
So, and I forgot. See, I was always under the impression that it was Coobs that was the offensive coordinator the year they went to the Super Bowl.
So was that.
But as we found out today, and I forgot about this, and then after listening to Russell, I was like, oh, that's right. No, Jim Caldwell. I want to say he was the quarterback's coach, got promoted to OC, and then boom, next thing you know, they win a Super Bowl.
So what did Coops do?
I don't think Coops was on that staff. I think Coops came on board the following season. I think he was there in 2014. We'll look that up. We'll drop that information on y'all tomorrow. But I get it. Jim Caldwell isn't the quote-unquote sexy choice. But if you want the DJ Khaled of coaches, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. I mean, listen, they've already interviewed him. So maybe you bring him back for a second interview. He's been out of the league for a year. He was actually the assistant head coach last year with the Miami Dolphins under Brian Flores. Not sure if he just didn't need to take a year off, wanted to get a, you know, take a sabbatical in 2020. Maybe the COVID had him kind of opt out. Ain't no telling. But we know he wants to get back in it. I know this much. I would, after looking at Jim Caldwell, I would much rather have him on my staff. I would be more excited about him as head coach than I would Marvin Lewis.
Well, yeah.
Because here's the thing about Marvin. Here's what I know about Jim Caldwell when I look at his numbers as an offensive guy. You balled with Peyton Manning. You went to the playoffs 3 out of 4 years with Matt Stafford, and you helped the Baltimore offense under Joe Flacco get to a Super Bowl.
He's the offensive guy you're looking for, possibly.
I wouldn't be opposed. He checks the boxes off. All right, because here's the reality of it. Is he any – because I guess – and I'm going to go ahead and just say this right now. How's he any less qualified than Eric Bieniemy?
He's more qualified.
He's absolutely more qualified than – how's he less qualified than Robert Saleh?
He's more qualified. It's not a bad
– I'll be honest with you. I'd take him over Urban Meyer.
Uh-oh. We have just witnessed a switch.
We got to get Jim Caldwell's agent on the phone.
Caldwell and Urban Meyer.
Jim, if you're listening, 713-780.
Yeah, we're ESPN. We ought to better get to Urban.
Now, Urban's busy, man.
Urban?
Urban's got things to do.
Urban?
Tomorrow's the last show for us.
His name's Urban, right?
Urban. Urban, like Urban Outfitters.
I was just checking because I was like, I've been saying Urban this whole time.
No, you were right.
Okay, cool. I was just thinking.
Like you're either an urban person or a rural person.
That's where I was going with that, and I was thinking.
You strike me being more urban.
No. I'm right on the line there.
Fine line.
Yep. I can fine do rural. Like I'd be close enough to the airport.
You could. Well, you are on the Nauf side.
I'm right by the airport.
You are right by the airport.
Like that.
You are right by the airport. What's the rest of your afternoon look like? I'm heading over to Best Buy. What are you doing?
I'm going over to Tom Peacock Cadillac and continue giving them, you know.
A-plus service.
Doing what I do over
between
there.
Between AirTex and Richie.
Between AirTex and Richie. Don't forget it, people. You know they got them sales going on. Saturday, they almost wiped us out. But don't feel bad. I got 2 truckloads of cars in. Don't nobody sell more Escalades than Tom Peacock Cadillac.
That's it. The premier Cadillac dealer. Not just in Houston.
Not just on the north side of Houston.
I'm talking America.
America.
Nobody sells more Escalades in America than Tom Peacock.
Hey. Our inventory is...
Tom, if you're listening, 713-78. Where is Tom? What's he doing?
It's young Tom. He works at Tom Peacock Cadillac.
Little Tom?
And then the dad, Andy, he's at the Tom Peacock Nissan, which is right next door.
Okay. So, but what about Tom Sr.?
Grandpa?
Grandpa?
I don't think he's around.
He gone?
Yeah.
He might be gone. R.I.P.?
Hey, man, I got to go to work. So knock it off. Knock it off.
Tom, if you're listening, 713-780. Let me hold one of them CTs.
Yeah.
Let me hold one of them CTSs. Let me get it.
CT6s.
Let me get it for the weekend.
John B., what you got up for the rest of the day? You going to be here all day?
I'll be here, I think, till 2, and then I'm going to go home and rest. Just hang out.
Okay.
That's it. What side of town you live on now?
I live in Spring, right by the airport.
Boom.
Near
this place to be, man.
You two could carpool.
The place to be, baby.
That's it.
Spring. That's it.
You know, I've thought about venturing out to the Nauf.
No, you're not a Nauf.
I'm not a North guy yet.
You like North area.
Love the North side.
But it's too much happening down there for you.
It's. I like to be centrally located. I'm a centrally located kind of guy.
There you go.
Okay. And
Somebody want to roll up while you got company or anything like that?
See, I don't.
That's central located.
Why you gotta put me out there like that?
On the north, that's a long drive.
I'm not
they call
really
it.
Feeling?
No, you're not
what
feeling.
What you saying?
See, that's how I felt about that pecan thing.
How bizarre.
Check it out.
All right, Charlie Pelillo's coming up next. All right. Last show of 2024, Henry Thomas and your boy Freddie D. So we will be on it tomorrow, 7 to 11, last day of the week for us. We got Brubman coming in. We're excited about that. And ain't no telling what other show tomfoolery and shenanigans we will pull off tomorrow. So John Belmer, great job by you. Henry Thomas, wonderful job by you, and I am still that dude, Freddie D. H-Town and America, you know we love you.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.